This cassette is prepared and presented by The Church of God International, sponsor of the Armor of God radio broadcast and telecast. Hello, my friends. Glad to have you along for another edition of the Armor of God program brought to you by The Church of God International. I'm Bronson James, pastor of our local congregation of The Church of God International here in Tyler, Texas. Today's program will change our emphasis a bit from our last program, which was dealing with Moses being the lawgiver. Now, today's program will emphasize Jesus and the law. Did Jesus come to do away with the Ten Commandments? Well, let us take a look, with the assistance of my colleague Van Stinson, at the issue of Jesus and the law. And at the conclusion of his presentation, I'll come back and tell you how you can obtain some vitally important information on ascertaining the true place of the commandments of God in your life. So, let's listen now to a presentation entitled Jesus and the Law by my colleague, Mr. Van Stinson.
Did Jesus Christ abolish the Old Testament law? Many say that he did, that he replaced the old law of Moses with a new law, the law of love. Some believe that he radically revised the law, while others say that he simply did away with it entirely because it was only given to the nation of Israel and no one else, and pertained only to the Old Covenant, or the covenant that God made with that ancient nation. But is this true? We'll answer that question in today's broadcast, but first, let me tell you about a free taped message I want you to have. It is entitled Jesus and the Law, and it shows with crystal clarity that the Lord Jesus Christ did not do away with the Ten Commandments or the Old Testament law in general. Rather, he upheld those commandments and taught his followers to keep them. You will see when you hear this tape that Jesus did not radically revise the law, but stripped away the erroneous interpretations that had been added to it and brought out its true meaning and intent. I hope you will let us give this tape to you. All you have to do is call us at area code 903-825-2525, request the tape entitled Jesus and the Law, give us your mailing address, and tell us the call letters of this radio station. Again, that number is area code 903-825-2525. We'll give it to you again at the end of this program. Now, let's look at what the Savior himself says. If you have your Bible handy, turn with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter, and let's see for ourselves what Jesus said about the so-called Old Testament law. Beginning in verse 17 of Matthew 5, we read Jesus' own words when he says, "Do not think that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Verse 19, "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." When Jesus said he did not come to destroy, but to fulfill, he did not mean that he would bring an end to the moral and ethical standards of the law by fulfilling the law's demands. He fulfilled the law in the sense that he brought out its true intent and purpose. Some of the religious leaders of his day had wrongly interpreted the law. Jesus, through his example and by way of direct teaching, exposed those erroneous interpretations and brought to light the true meaning and purpose of the commandments. A good portion of the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' own commentary on certain commandments of the law. He addresses the erroneous interpretations of these commandments, and in so doing shows us exactly what he means when he says that he came to fulfill or bring to life the true intent and purpose of the law. Turn with me now to Matthew 5. If you still have your Bible there, look on to verse 21. Well, let's read verses 21 through 26. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire, or Gehenna, which is eternal destruction." Here Jesus cites the sixth commandment. You shall not murder. And he goes on to show that murder begins in the heart. Hating one's brother or expressing that hatred through hurtful words involves the spirit of murder. And if such hatred is harbored and not dealt with, it could lead to the very act of murder. In verse 43, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" Now here Jesus is quoting right out of the Old Testament law. Leviticus 19 and verse 18 says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But nowhere does the Old Testament say that you shall hate your enemy. In fact, the law says precisely the same thing that Jesus says. In verse 44, Jesus says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Some apparently believe that Jesus was radically revising the Old Testament law, or that he was reinterpreting the law or introducing something brand new and quite different from the standards set forth in the law of Moses. But let's not just assume that Jesus is overthrowing or radically revising the so-called old law. Let's see for ourselves what the law actually says. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, and let's begin in verse 13. "You shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning." Verse 14. "You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor." Verse 16. "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." Now, verse 17, and listen carefully. "You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your brother and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." The law plainly states that you are not to hate your brother. You are to love him, and you are to treat him with dignity and deal with him honestly and avoid showing partiality. The same applies to the stranger who might normally be considered one's neighbor, and might not normally be considered one's neighbor or brother. In Leviticus 19, in verses 33 and 34, God says, "And if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." In other words, treat the strangers among you the same way you would have liked the Egyptians to treat you when you were a stranger in their land. This is another way of saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And these principles of love and kindness are right here in the Old Testament law. Now, remember that Jesus said that his followers should love their enemies and do good to them. Some treat this statement as if it were something new, something very different from the old standards of the law of Moses. But is it? Turn to Exodus 23, and let's begin reading in verse 4. God says, "If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again." Verse 5, "If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it." Now drop down to verse 9. "Also you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Are not these the same principles Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount? Indeed they are. It is important to realize that when he quotes a saying and then says, "But I say unto you," he is not revising or abolishing a commandment in the law. Rather, he is exposing the erroneous interpretations that have been added to the law and bringing out what the true intent and purpose of the law had been all along. Another example of how Jesus upheld the law is when he explained that adultery, or violation of the seventh commandment, is as much a matter of the heart as it is a matter of the flesh. He says in Matthew 5, beginning in verse 27, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The seventh commandment of the Decalogue is found in Exodus 20 and verse 14 and states, "You shall not commit adultery." Now, the tenth commandment, found in verse 17, goes to the heart of the matter. Listen, it states, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." To covet means to lust, to desire something that does not rightfully belong to you. One breaks the seventh commandment by first breaking the tenth commandment. Adultery, like so many other sins, begins in the heart. It begins with lust, the desire for something that you cannot rightfully have. So again, Jesus is not radically revising or redefining the law or abolishing it, only to replace it with a new set of commandments. He's simply going to the heart of the matter. He's showing his disciples the real meaning of the law. Some people seem to think that the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day were the strict law keepers and upholders of the old law of Moses, while Jesus was a revolutionary of sorts who came along and overturned the old Mosaic law. In actual fact, it was the Pharisees, or at least their predecessors, who revised and redefined the law, and it was Jesus who, well, at least for his disciples, restored the law by restoring its original intent and meaning. Let's see a scriptural example of what I'm talking about. Turn to Matthew chapter 15, and let's read beginning in verse 1. "Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?'" The tradition of the elders was the so-called oral law, which was considered to be as valid as the written law from the Pharisaic perspective. They go on to say, "For they do not wash their hands while they eat bread." Verse 3, "He answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?'" Notice that he quotes directly from the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments. Verse 4, "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother.'" Well, that's the fifth commandment. And, Jesus continues, "He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." Notice that Jesus upholds the law of God. He quotes directly from the written law, the Old Testament law, if you will, and by so doing shows that the commandments are still valid. They're still in force. Now he continues in verse 5, "But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God.'" Verse 6, "Then he need not honor his father or mother." You see, that's what they were saying. And Jesus says, "Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." You see how Jesus upholds the law here? You see then that if anyone was revising, redefining, or abolishing the law, it was the Pharisees, not Jesus. By their traditions, which were the basis of their erroneous understanding and illegitimate treatment of the law, they found ways of excusing themselves from obeying the commandments of God. Now, turn to Matthew 19, and let's begin reading in verse 16. We read in this account, "Now behold, one came and said to him," that is Jesus, "Good teacher," I might add here that some manuscripts omit the word good, he says, "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Verse 17, "So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good?'" Let me add here also that some manuscripts read, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" And he continues, "No one is good but one, that is God," or "There is one who is good," as some manuscripts read. "But if you want to enter into life," notice this carefully, "keep the commandments." Let's understand that Jesus is not teaching salvation by works. This simply means that a heart of repentance, or heart submissive to the will of God, which is essential to genuine saving faith, is reflected in obedience to God's commandments. Now, verse 18, we continue. "He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" Jesus, you notice here, quotes five of the Ten Commandments and then cites the one commandment that summarizes those five. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Again, we see that Jesus strongly upholds the so-called Old Testament law or law of Moses. He does it again in Matthew 22, chapter 22 and beginning in verse 35. Then one of them, that is a Pharisee, a lawyer, that's one regarded as an expert in the law, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Verse 38, "This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Jesus was not introducing new laws. The first and great commandment he cited was right out of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. The second, as we've already seen, was right out of Leviticus 19 and verse 18. If you begin with these two commandments, then you have the basis for fully understanding the great underlying principles of the law and of the prophets. You will see how both the law and the prophets, that's the Old Testament revelation in general, stress love, love toward God, and love toward other people. Again, Jesus Christ upholds the Old Testament law. Again, he brings out the true intent of the law. I think that by now we must all surely agree that Jesus did not abolish the first commandment, which states, "You shall have no other gods before me." I think we will all agree that Jesus did not abolish the second commandment, "You shall not make for yourselves a carved image. You shall not bow down to them or serve them." I think we all agree that Jesus did not abolish the third commandment, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." I think we all agree that Jesus did not abolish the fifth commandment, "Honor your father and your mother." I think we all agree that Jesus did not abolish the sixth commandment, "You shall not murder." I think we all agree that Jesus did not abolish the seventh commandment, "You shall not commit adultery." I think we all agree that Jesus did not abolish the eighth commandment, "You shall not steal." I think we all agree that Jesus did not abolish the ninth commandment, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." And I think we all agree that Jesus did not abolish the tenth commandment, "You shall not covet." But what about the one commandment I did not name? What about the fourth commandment? "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God." Some claim that this is the one commandment that Jesus relaxed. But did he? Turn to Mark, the second chapter. Mark chapter 2. And let's begin reading in verse 23. "Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' But he said to them, 'Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the show bread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him? And he said to them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath.'" According to Jewish tradition, the day David took the bread was on the Sabbath. Whether that is true or not is uncertain, but what is certain is that Jesus is pointing out that human need takes priority when such situations arise. Furthermore, he is invoking a higher precedent when he points out that the Sabbath was instituted by God. He is saying that the Sabbath was instituted for a purpose. What was that purpose? It was instituted, Jesus says, for the benefit of man, which is, in fact, implied in Genesis 2, where we find the account of God blessing and sanctifying the seventh day. So Jesus is saying that the Sabbath is best kept holy when man is being benefited. Far from abolishing the Sabbath, Jesus refers to the very purpose of the Sabbath to begin with. And he applies that purpose to this situation involving his disciples going through the grain fields and plucking grains of ear grains off the ears to eat and satisfy their hunger. Jesus says that the Sabbath was made for man, meaning for man's benefit. That's why God set it apart as a special day. And I might point out here that when the Sabbath was instituted, there were no Israelites or Jews on the earth. Adam represented the human race, so the Sabbath was made for the human race, not just the Jews. Jesus also says that he, the Son of Man, is Lord of the Sabbath day. As the representative man, the second Adam, if you will, whose will is in complete accord with the will of his heavenly Father, Jesus exercises his right to interpret the Sabbath law in accordance to God's original purpose for establishing the Sabbath. If the Sabbath had been seen as an archaic institution, Jesus' application of God's original purpose for the Sabbath to the situation at hand would make no sense whatsoever. How can he be Lord of something that no longer exists? Now, while we're in Mark's Gospel, let's read the first few verses of chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand." Continuing in verse 2, "So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Step forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save or to kill?' But they kept silent. Verse 5, "And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other." Jesus may have disregarded the interpretations of the scribes and Pharisees, that is, the interpretations, the erroneous interpretations that they placed upon the Sabbath law, but by no means did he disregard God's original purpose in establishing the Sabbath. By healing on the Sabbath, by showing mercy and kindness to human beings in need, Jesus brought out the meaning of the day in a most profound way. He was the true Sabbath keeper. Again, I would like to mention today's free offer before we close. It's a tape message entitled Jesus and the Law, and it covers much of the material that we have covered today, as well as material that we have not covered. So I hope you will request it, and by the way, when you call for the tape, you will automatically receive a free subscription to the Armor of God newsletter, which is an 8-page monthly publication containing articles on a variety of biblical subjects and providing information on activities sponsored by the Church of God International. I hope you will get the free tape and the free subscription to our newsletter. Again, just call us at area code 903-825-2525. Ask for the tape on Jesus and the Law. Tell the operator the call letters of this radio station and give him or her your mailing address. Again, that number is area code 903-825-2525 for this free copy of your tape, Jesus and the Law. Be sure and get that tape today, and also the free subscription to our newsletter, the Armor of God newsletter. Be sure and tune in again next time when I will be discussing the subject of Paul and the law. We will see that Paul himself advocated keeping the commandments and that he strongly upheld the law as a standard of conduct. We will also examine some of those difficult passages in Paul's epistles, particularly those which seem to speak rather negatively of the Old Testament law. So make it a point to tune in again next time.
Well, thank you, Van Stinson, for that scintillating and insightful presentation on Jesus and the law. Now, those who are viewing or listening to this program, sometimes I get my venues all mixed up. We also have a television program that I'll tell you about here in a few moments. But those who are listening to this presentation of the Armor of God today, we have provided for you some material that will assist you in ascertaining two vitally important bits of information concerning the Bible. Now, was Moses the lawgiver? Many conclude that Moses was the one who gave us the law, the Ten Commandments. Well, in fact, that is not true. The commandments were given by God, in fact, written with his finger. Moses was the facilitator.
That is, he conveyed information to the children of Israel regarding God's wishes. So he really was not the constructor of the commandments at all, or the law for that matter. He was an administrator of that law. And you can look into that material or that information by requesting, free of charge, a brochure entitled, Was Moses the Lawgiver? We accentuated that information in our previous program. Now, today's program emphasized the relationship of Jesus Christ and the law. Now, you perhaps have heard, as I grew up in hearing, that Jesus did away with the law, that he nailed it to the cross, or he buried it in the grave, or he somehow destroyed it. The fact of the matter is that Jesus was very much in harmony with the law as we know it, that is, specifically the Ten Commandments, and you can ascertain that simply by requesting a free cassette tape prepared by Van Stinson, in it, and the title of it is Jesus and the Law. So we have two vital pieces of information for your consideration as our offer today. Was Moses the Lawgiver? A brochure that you can read in one sitting, or a tape cassette which you can listen to in your car or in your home as you're doing with work or whatever that you might be doing, maybe even jogging along a path someplace. It's entitled Jesus and the Law. Both can come to you, postage paid, free of charge, and all it takes is a phone call. Call us at 903-825-2525. Or write to us at Armor of God, Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas, 75710. Now, if you are email literate, you can email us at armorofgod@email.com. All of this can come to you, postage paid, free of charge. We will never request your Social Security number, your credit card number, or any such thing as that. All we need to know is where you would like the material sent, and it will be on its way to you. Many of you are curious about the Bible and want to know how to fully comprehend it. There are some curious questions, and certainly the issue of the Ten Commandments and its relevance in our lives today is an important question. Many who attend the churches of this world conclude that, well, all you need to do is love one another, and that's sufficient because Christ gave us a new commandment. Well, did he? Get this material. Order it. Pick up the phone. You know, get up from your chair and come and make the request. Dial 903-825-2525. You can call right now as you hear this program. Operators are standing by to receive your calls, to serve you. Or you can write to us at Armor of God, Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas, 75710. Or email us at armorofgod@email.com. Now, if you'd like more information about the church in your area, whether you're listening to this program here in Tyler or in Little Rock, Arkansas, you can pick up the phone and dial, again, the number 903-825-2525 to obtain more information about an assembly of people who are studying the Word of God and praising and worshiping Him together and trying to grow in grace and knowledge. So, I invite you to return with us on the next occasion to hear this presentation of the Armor of God. I'm Bronson James.